As we announced, we're going to begin today a series on the theme Covenant Godly Living. Sermons which are intended to build us up in our marriage, in raising of children, as well as in our own personal walk of godliness in this world. You ask, but what do you mean by that theme, Covenant Godly Living? The covenant is that truth of Scripture from its beginning to its end of the bond of friendship with God given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, in which God becomes our God and we are made His people who now live under the blessing of God and desire to show forth His praise in all we do. Godly, covenant, godly living, emphasizing that this covenant is not simply an external code, that religion is not merely an outward matter, but that true covenant living is fueled by personal godliness. Covenant godly living, that is the truth of God's gracious covenant as applied to our life, in our home, in our marriage, and in every aspect of our walk. I'd like to begin today by laying the foundation of what covenant godly living is to be. Covenant godly living, according to the Scripture, is built upon true experiential knowledge of God. The text that I've chosen, Genesis 17, verse 1, is very instructive on this point. We read, "And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect." Genesis 17 is one of the great chapters in the Bible in the unfolding of the truth of God's covenant. God has come to dismantle Abram's hope in his son Ishmael and to tell him that God would give Sarah a son. But if Abraham is to embrace this truth, and if Abraham in the broader context is to live a covenant, godly life, a life of true fellowship and friendship with God, then Abraham's faith must be placed upon a bedrock. And what is that bedrock? This, "I am Almighty God to you, Abram. Walk before me, and be thou perfect." To walk with God, to live a life of fellowship with God, must be built upon this, a deep, spirit-worked, heart-understood knowledge of the all-sufficient God who loved me, and the desire that in every aspect of my life I will live for the approval of His eyes. That's covenant, godly living. Is that your life? Is that an adequate description, by the grace of God, of your life today? Do you live a covenant, godly life? That is, do you know God in such a way that you are awed? Your pride is broken down within you, and yet you feel yourself drawn irresistibly by His grace and love, and in Christ you desire to do everything to please Him? Covenant, godly living, is to walk consciously before the Almighty God. Let's emphasize that point. Covenant, godly living, is built upon and draws its strength from a staggering, soul-shaking understanding of God as the Almighty God. "I am Almighty God," says God to Abraham. "Therefore, walk before me, and be thou perfect." Mark it down in your heart. Those who have lived most godly, those who have shown the power of faith in their life, those who have lived faithfully in their marriage and reared their children in a holy way, are those who have known the majesty of God. And if you and I are to live godly in this present world, a world given over to self and saturated in every form of evil, then we must possess the knowledge of the Almighty God. And if we are to experience the blessing of God in our life, then we must have our life built upon one foundation. I am Almighty God to you. Walk before me and be thou perfect. You see, in our text, God is saying that he intends his name to be the foundation of Abraham's life. God in Genesis 17 has come to speak to Abraham of great things, not the least of which would be that he would give him a son at the age of 99 years old. But Abraham's ability to believe all these things and to respond faithfully would be dependent upon one thing. This faith worked in his heart that God was Almighty God to him. I am Almighty God. In the Hebrew, the word is El Shaddai. It's the very first time in Genesis 17:1 that we find the word for God used in Scripture. It's composed of two words, El or Elohim, the most common name of God in the Old Testament. El, which is simply God, a name which expresses the truth of his greatness and glory as the creator of all things in 6 24-hour days and as the ruler of all things. The word El or God oozes with the truth of his omnipotence, that is his all power and sovereignty, that is he rules over all things. Deuteronomy 10, verse 17, "For the Lord your God, or El, your Elohim, is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." As Elohim, God creates all things. As El, he is the one whose being is not dependent upon anything outside of himself. As God, he possesses, owns heaven and earth. He is God, El Shaddai, translated God Almighty. Now that's not merely a redundancy or repetition. The word Shaddai, or Almighty, is literally self-sufficient or all-sufficient. And thus, the God who sheds forth blessing, the God who provides all things. God Almighty emphasizes that God is able to carry out all of his purpose, to accomplish his plans to the fullest, to triumph over every obstacle, and to supply every need to us, his children. He is the inexhaustible store of all mercy and power. He is El Shaddai. There is no want or lack to him. I am Almighty God. That implies that God says to us and to Abram, but to us, you are dependent. You are insufficient. But I am God Almighty, powerful to pour out my blessing upon you. And that's the way God uses his name in our text. There had been a period of 13 years of silence. Abraham had now been in the land of Canaan for 25 years, and 13 years prior, his wife had suggested that he have a son with Hagar named Ishmael. But now God has come to tell him that it's not Ishmael who will be that promised son, promised Abraham, but Sarah, his wife, shall have a son. God has waited until Abraham's body was dead and has abundantly shown through the long period of years that they could not have any children. But yet God says, "You shall have a child, Abraham, with Sarah. And I tell you why. Because I am El Shaddai. I am Almighty God. Abraham, I'm sufficient. Your life with me must be built upon that truth." And for Abraham it was. It staggered Abraham. It overwhelmed him. It knocked him off his feet. Look at verse 3 of the chapter, Genesis 17, verse 3. "And Abraham fell on his face." There was imparted to Abraham's faith such a knowledge of God as he is in himself, that was imparted to Abraham such a knowledge of God and such a knowledge of himself as an insufficient sinner, that Abraham was staggered, and knowing the bounty of his God and the power of his God, Abraham believed in the Almighty God, whose promise must stand forever sure. Now that's the foundation. That's the heart of godly covenant living. If you are to live a life of covenant, of friendship with God, if you are to live a God-honoring life in your marriage, as a child, in your family, in your church, in your work, it must be built upon this shattering, wonderful declaration. I am Almighty God to you. I am powerful and able to fulfill all that I have promised and to bless those who patiently wait upon me. Apply that now to your soul. The single most determinative factor in your Christian life, in your living a holy life, in your marriage, in rearing your children, is to know and to tremble in faith before El Shaddai and to hear him say, I am Almighty God to you. If you are to be pure in your body, if you are to keep your head above the water of materialism and self-worship, then you must hear deep down in the chambers of your own heart, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Right now, that's the most important factor in your covenant living. It won't be simply the most important factor when troubles start to come and darkness closes round about you and the world's love appeals to your flesh. Oh no! You must have this right now, before your affection for your wife or husband begins to cool, before the world begins to hold out more attraction to you as a young person with its parties, its money, its good times, before your child becomes a stranger to you and communication becomes a problem, before all of these things arrive, you must today live in the knowledge that God is Almighty God to you. Are you close to God? That's a simple question. What's your answer? What's your answer? Are you close to God? Do you live your life as if you're standing right before his feet? For you are. Do you read the scriptures? Do you engage in prayer? Do you attend the church faithfully? You say, well, no, I'm too busy. Too busy with what? God is our business. People of God, there is one thing that we are upon the earth for, and that is to know El Shaddai, to base all of our life in him as the Almighty God. Notice that God is saying to us that he is sufficient. He is sufficient for everything. And that's the experience of all the saints. God then is sufficient. I am El Shaddai. I'm sufficient for you today. And therefore, he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, there is a figure of speech here that God is employing with Abraham. And he simply means to say to Abraham and to you and to me that we must live our life for the eye of God, for God's approval. That makes sense. If he's El Shaddai, Almighty God, totally sufficient and completely sovereign, then every part of our life must be lived to please him. Our walk in the Bible refers to the way in which we live, but not simply the external part, that, for sure, but more than that, our walk of life is our life as we live that life from the heart. Our walk of life is not just the outward part that is seen. The outward part could be your act of life. It is possible to go through the acts of a Christian life, and then to have it said, that person walks as a Christian. But that's not necessarily true. For the Christian walk is not only the outward. No, the Christian walk of life is our life as we live it from the heart. And that's your walk. What you are in your heart is what you are. Your walk of life is your life as regulated from the heart. And the Christian walk of life is that life regulated from the new heart that God has given by His Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. Now God says, walk before me. That is, walk in the consciousness that I am before you, and do everything in your life to please me. Let me put it as simply as I can. To walk before God means that God's smile upon your life is the one thing you covet the most, and God's frown upon your life would be the one thing that you would dread above all others. Walk before me, Abraham. You and I walk before him in a consciousness that he is before us and that we desire to please him in everything we do. You understand that that will free us. Walking before the Almighty God wrenches us loose from a life lived for the approval of the world and the approval of others and the approval of self. By nature, we look for approval. You can't get away from that. That's true. Even the young person who says, I'm my own man, I don't care what people think, that's not true. We are very self-conscious and very conscious of what others think about us. We are by nature idolaters, and we seek the approval of others, of the world, of ourselves, and for that approval we will serve them. But you see, now redeemed in Jesus Christ and brought into the covenant of God, given to know the Almighty God, there will be one thought that frees our soul. What does God say about me? What does God think of me? And God sees me in Jesus Christ as his child. The world wants you to live before their eye. They want you to conform to their standards and to walk in their way. They want you to measure up. And so, maybe as a Christian, you begin to simply dress provocatively the way they do. Or you, as a young person, swagger in your walk the way you've seen it on the television. The world wants you to line up and to follow along like a bunch of lemmings. But for the child of God, we are free. Now it only means what, the only thing that matters is what God thinks about me, and we are free to serve him from our hearts. That means that we will regulate our words and our actions and our thoughts as if we are in the presence of God, and indeed we are in the presence of God. Is God God to you? Well, how much so? If you simply say what you want to in your anger and in your frustration and in your irritation, and if you say, well, I'm free to think what I want to about that person, and you harbor evil thoughts and resentments, then God is not God to you for all your insistence. Oh, no. When God is God to us, that will regulate our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. Now, the word perfect here is not sinless, but it means complete and whole. Be sincere. Be wholehearted. Do not try to serve me, says God, with a divided affection. Don't try to give half of your heart to me and half of it to the world, half of it in church and half of it somewhere else. Serve me, undivided, with one heart. Devote all your love and all your heart to me. Walk before me, Abraham, and be thou perfect. Do you know that? Do you know that blessed experience? I am Almighty God. Every part of this is evil to the wicked. I am Almighty God. The wicked, unconverted man gnashes his teeth against that. He says, there is no power over me. I don't need God's aid. I'm my own man, and I'm self-sufficient. And so he continues, apart from God's grace in his course of folly. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. The unconverted man says that's the greatest dread. I don't want God to see me. I don't want to think about the fact that I must appear before God. I want everything to deny God and to hide from me the truth that I live before him. But by the grace of God, and here's the mark of God's grace, by the grace of God, we reckon with this word. I am Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. Do you reckon with that in your heart? That's God's grace, and that's the most blessed of all experience. To trust in El Shaddai, to trust in the living God, not a God of man's imaginations, not a God of wood and stone, not a God who was made by men, but the God who remains unmade and eternal, and who has made all things, and upholds them by his own hand, and has promised to be all-sufficient to us. To walk before him, to know that he sees me every moment in my trials and afflictions, that he holds me within his hands. Ah, that's godly, covenant, living. What a wonder. And then the comfort is this. It's not so much that we always see him and are conscious of him, for in our sin we must confess today we don't. We should, but we don't. But the comfort is this. He sees us. He is Almighty God to us, not first by our initiative, but by his almighty initiative. He has made himself known to us in Jesus, and now he calls us to walk before him. God grant it. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word today, and we pray that thou would bless it unto our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.